Welcome to the PLINK Leadership Positive Nudge Series, an audio program to bring you insight, inspiration, and ideas to go deeper on your leadership development journey. We invite you to tune in for a few minutes and charge up your courageous leadership. This is your positive nudge to keep practicing what you've learned in your PLINK Leadership Workshop. In this episode, we're going to be talking about accountability. I'm Alexis Robin from PLINK Leadership, and today I have the pleasure of chatting with Gretchen Pisano, who's my friend and founding partner at PLINK Leadership. So, Gretchen, welcome.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about what we mean by accountability and why it matters if you're a leader.
So I think the most straightforward definition of that is knowing what agreements and commitments you are responsible for delivering on. You know, really just that idea for making good on. And we can think about it from two sides of that agreement, right? It's as a leader, oftentimes you're asking people to step up and make themselves accountable. And also as an individual, you want to be thinking about what are the things that I am owning and have ownership for.
And why is it important as a leader? When I think about accountability, I think about it both for myself personally, holding myself accountable, doing what I say I'm going to do, and then also holding the people who I lead accountable for delivering on both behaviors, their projects that are due, and basically anything that they've said that they will take charge for. So why is that so important for the leader to be paying attention to in self and others?
Accountability is one of those core pieces of the business environment that influences both progress on meaningful work as well as the culture. And when it isn't done in a clear way, it can contribute to a lot of miscommunication and misunderstandings that then end up starting to impact trust and productivity. So it's one of those things that when it's done well, it keeps everything humming. And when it's not done well, meaning unconsciously, right? It's not done intentionally, then it kind of spider webs out into a whole bunch of other unwanted outcomes. For example, I have repeatedly asked Sue, or I've repeatedly given Sue the go-ahead and the green light on something that she stepped up for and said that she wants. And I have begun to notice that there's a pattern that she's often behind, and I'm usually finding out right before something is due that it's not where it needs to be. And over time, I might become the kind of leader, I might already be a conflict-averse leader, maybe not so practiced in the relational vulnerability, so I don't really want to take that on, right? So what I do instead is start to hover, I start to micromanage Sue, I might even just take the work back eventually, saying, hey, this is good enough, and then I'm going to do it all myself. So these are the kinds of things that then just cascade into issues around trust, issues around competencies, issues around whether I'm developing my people or not, issues around my own capacity to scale as a leader because I'm doing all this other work. So it's really multidimensional, and there are some really clear practices for it so you can avoid that kind of stuff ever happening.
That's a great example of what we often hear in our coaching with leaders who struggle to hold people accountable. I like what you said too about this intentionality. And I think it's worth noting for our listeners that oftentimes when we are not making our expectations clear, which is a key component of accountability and being able to hold someone accountable, they have to know what they're saying yes to and what they're supposed to be doing. Oftentimes that's unintentional. It's we are either thinking, we joke sometimes to say, if you're thinking it really loud, they can't hear you. So oftentimes it can be in perfectly clear in our head, and what comes out of our mouth or in our email is kind of half-baked. And so I think that was just a really good point that you said about it being unintentional sometimes. So let's talk about those practices, because I think that's really what our listeners are looking for is like, how do I start getting better at this? How do I do this well?
So bottom line is that you're going to be really clear with somebody about what your expectations are, meaning what you can see in your mind's eye about how you want this thing, whatever it is they're working on, to look like when it's finished and what purpose it will serve. Like in P-Link, we call that paint done, using Brené Brown's vernacular, but it's really this idea of when I see this doing its ideal thing, this is what it looks like, and here's when I need it by. So there's this, a clear deadline, there's clear expectations around deliverables, and then you're going to check for understanding, right? So I would say, what questions do you have? How would you add to this? What else do you see that I may not be noticing? So before we end that communication, we've both come to agreement on what it is we think is happening next. And then document that. Write that down. Right. People take this so much for granted that people are going to remember, or, you know, it's enough to just say it. But when an agreement is broken, it is not unusual for people to remember the agreement differently. You get into a whole back and forth on that.
Absolutely. And I think even for you and I, as partners, we often will agree on something and then come back to it 3 weeks later and say, what did we say we were going to do? Yeah. It's like, so it's so important, even if you have great intentions and you're really present in the moment, if you're not writing it down, there's a lot going on in the world. We get busy. We forget.
And there are certain things that are stickier than others, right? And you know about me, like this is something I would for sure want people to hear who are very strategic and conceptual in their thinking and leadership, is that oftentimes, because this is something you and I have worked on, is that in your mind, you can think you're being really clear. And yet you're not, and you don't know that until somebody comes back with something. So it's really important to peel off the piece of it that you feel like you do know you want to delegate, and then, you know, let somebody else step up to do that as part of their developmental path, and to put a step in the process early so they're coming back with something tangible to say, hey, Gretchen, is this what you meant? And then that's where you can do the course correction versus sending them off with some conceptual direction. They think they've got it. They come back with the ta-da. And you're like, actually, no, that's not what I meant at all, which is just a big disappointment.
Which is so disappointing on both sides, right? Because someone thinks they're so, you know, they've really gotten it and done such a good job. And somebody else is like, oh, this is not what I needed. And now we're up against the deadline. So I think such a good point. So just to reiterate that, clearly articulate what it is that you're looking for, what it looks like, when it will be done, a clear deadline, and then document it. So this is just a basic practice. What's another practice for somebody who's wanting to hold their folks accountable? Maybe if things don't go well and someone isn't following through, then what do you do?
Well, I would even put a step in between there, which is keep a tickler file for yourself. You know, put a reminder on your calendar, or I keep an action list in my Asana just to remind, hey, check in with Alexis. How's this going? Because otherwise I might altogether forget about it, right? Because it's not on my radar, which is great, right? That's successful delegation. But I also want to be showing up and be supportive, to your point, not at the last minute. I also think it's important to be willing to ask for support and let people support you in realizing your vision without being overly prescriptive. So if you think about that from all the different aspects of the system, right? You have a leader who's willing to paint the vision, ask for people to step in, be able to delegate without micromanaging or taking it over. You have clear agreements in place. You know when things are due. You've written those down and you're checking against them. So that could be in Asana, that could be an Excel spreadsheet, but it's part of your regular cadence of communication, right? How are we doing against these things that we said we wanted to do? Right. Especially important, by the way, when you're talking about internal facing priorities, because usually most companies are really good at delivering on the external facing priorities, but where things slide is the projects and initiatives they're involved in internally, right? Because they're always going to take a back seat.
Right.
But the company doesn't grow if you're not working on that infrastructure. So it's equally important to have those agreements and milestones just as clearly committed to as anything else.
I think those are both great. And I think two questions I would add that I really love when holding people accountable or setting expectations is, you know, as you deliver this to somebody, is how does this impact your other priorities? So checking in to see, is this, you know, something that we're asking someone to do in direct conflict with something else that someone else has asked them to do or that we've asked them to do. We've said that it's due by Friday and suddenly they're like, well, wait, I have these two things due by Friday, but only time to really do one of them well. Being able to check in on that. And then also, I love what you say about delegating, but allowing for someone else to kind of take that vision and figure out how to get there with some autonomy. The idea of, is this the best way to do this, right? So I might say, hey, I want you to do this. And then I might ask, do you think, is this the best way to approach this? And that often can create a lot of buy-in. If somebody says, actually, I think it'd be easier if we took this route, what do you think? And then we can have a conversation. So really just having that open communication that you're talking about, I think so important. Do you have any kind of last minute things that you would want to leave with our listeners? Maybe a question for them to ponder or one last little tip or something?
Well, you asked about what happens if things don't go well, like if something's running late. And I think two things. One is that if you're the person making the commitment or having made the commitment, it's okay to change an agreement. It's not okay to break one. So you want to be in front of that and be proactive about it, which obviously we know takes some courage and some vulnerability to be able to go to your boss or peer that's counting on you and say, I thought I was going to be able to get this done and I didn't. However, if you do that with the intention to change the agreement, it's much easier and much more productive than after the agreement's been broken. And then I would say, if you are already in the situation in which something is late, slid off the rails, and somebody didn't disclose that, then you want to be willing to have that courageous conversation, which means, hey, Randy, I want to have a conversation with you about such and such a program. I'm concerned about where we are with that. Let's talk about how we can reset our agreement and what support looks like from me. And I think the big coaching tip in there is that people usually know when they have made a mistake. So you really don't have to spend a whole lot of time drilling that into them. You want to say, let's acknowledge this happened. Let's reset, point to the future and say, how do we keep going?
Exactly. Great, great insight. Well, thanks for being with us today. Always a pleasure to have these conversations with you. Listeners, thanks for tuning in, and we wish you the best on your journey to positive leadership.
Thanks for tuning in to the PLINK Leadership Positive Nudge Series and helping your organization accelerate change in a big way.